This is from John chapter 1. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Verse 19 of chapter 1. And this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent to him high priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he said, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Then what then are you? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he said, "I answered, no." And they said to him, "Then who are you? That we may give answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." They the prophet said, and they and they had been with him. They had been sent from the Pharisees, those who were with him. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor Moses the prophet?" And John answered, saying, "If I baptize in water, but there are ones among," he said, "I baptize in water, but there is one who is among you, who stands among you, whom you do not even know. It is he who will come after me, and the thong of his sandals I'm not even worthy to untie." And these things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing, and the very next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I. He existed before me, though he came after me.' And I did not recognize him originally. In order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I have beheld his spirit descending upon him as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him.' And though I did not recognize him initially, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have borne witness of that this is the Son of God." And again, the next day, John was standing, and two of his disciples were with him. And he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples who heard him speak, they left John and followed Jesus. The story is so interesting to me because next to Joseph and Mary, John was the first follower of Christ. He was the first person to say, "This is the Son of God." Even among Jesus' disciples, if you remember the stories, they struggle with that whole reality at times. And then finally, when Jesus asked them something, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, you're the Christ." And he said, "Well, only the Father could have shown that to you." So they knew he was the Messiah, his disciples, but they were still struggling with this idea that John got from the very beginning. This is the Son of God, clothed in humanity. And he makes this public declaration in front of Pharisees who weren't his friends. In front of all these people, he declared twice the Lamb of God. The first time he said he's come to take away the sins of the world, decrees that he's the Son of God, and then is really good about his own disciples leaving him. And so the point being is, his faith in Christ was strong. It was public. It had revelation to it. He didn't care if his own disciples left. Jesus was the real deal. I heard people talk a lot. We had Dan Muller this week, and said, "He's just the real deal." And he is, because Jesus is the real deal. And so Jesus is the real deal. He's the real deal in you. He's the real deal in us. And John the Baptist was this real deal disciple who put all of his eggs in this basket, everything. And yet, when we read Matthew chapter 11, after John's put in jail, and we've looked at this passage in the last few months, in John chapter 11, it says, "It came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John, who was in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent his disciples, word by his disciples, and said, 'Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?'" See, not only did John have such a public declaration of who this was, was there such childlike, strong childlike faith. He also was familiar with Jesus. He was his cousin. So they had this relationship. There was intimacy. There was faith. There was public declaration. Again, all of his eggs were in that basket, and he preached the message, "Behold Christ, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world." And yet, when he sees Jesus healing, doing all this kind of stuff, he begins to question, he begins to doubt whether or not Jesus is actually the Christ. We've talked about this in recent months. I believe the reason is because why wasn't Jesus preaching repentance? See, John's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven's here. Mark 1 says Jesus' message was the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent and believe the good news. And so what Christ did, he did come to take away the sins of the world, but he came to take away the sins of the world by confronting people with the grace of God, which gives them a chance to repent. So it was different than what John was doing. John wasn't there to heal the sick. We don't have any story or incident where John healed the sick or raised the dead or any of that stuff. And so Jesus isn't doing it right. And so now this one who is the first believer and strong believer is struggling with believing. So Jesus sends a message back to John and says, look, tell John this. He said, tell him that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is what it looks like when you preach the gospel. Grace changes people's lives, John. But then I love what Christ said next. Blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. Now look what that verse said. Blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. You can keep yourself from stumbling over Jesus. Now Jesus didn't say, blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over circumstances because they don't work out the way you thought they were going to work out. He said, blessed is he who doesn't stumble, who keeps from stumbling over me. John trusted me. John believed in me. And I'm at work. I'm honoring his faith. I'm doing it. I'm here in the midst of this. And yet he stumbled over me because he was looking for me to do it a certain way. And when I didn't do it a certain way, he began to question. While it was me the whole time. How many of us live that way? Not just that we are believing for some circumstance and God seems to be doing it a different way and we stumble. That's true. We don't see that Christ is in the midst doing stuff. We may even have a promise, and yet things seem to be going backwards before they ever start going forwards. And Christ is trying to say, don't stumble over me. This isn't just circumstances not working out or going backwards. I'm in the midst of all this. That's true. But what about in our own walk with the Lord? I was talking to a friend this morning. What if we walk into a situation and we're believers, we're trusting in Christ, we're not counting on us, he's not counting on us, we're counting on him. We're counting on grace, and grace has a face. And yet we step into the situation, and when we get through ministering, or we give a word, or we do whatever, we immediately start questioning whether or not we missed it, or whether or not there shouldn't have been more, because we had some expectation of what it was going to look like, and then we begin to beat ourselves up. Anytime you get turned toward yourself, it's never God. That's the law. When you get bent toward yourself, grace unbends us. And what we've done, we've stumbled over him because he's absolutely honored your faith. He did it just right. And he's saying, I did it just right. You were trusting me. I did it just right. I said it just right. I gave the word just right. I did it. And you were trusting. And now why are you not trusting? You're not trusting because you thought I was going to make them hover off the floor or spin around in circles. And you see what I'm saying? We start off believing and put all our eggs in that basket. And then when he's not doing it the way we perceive it's supposed to look like, or maybe somebody else's stories. See, I know that some things can happen when you have a guest speaker come. People can go, I want to be like that guy. I don't want you to be like that guy. I want you to be like Jesus. And then be the guy or gal that you are. Dan Muller sleeps 5 hours a night. I don't know about you, but I'm getting more than that. Because that's who I am in Christ. But I have to trust. And that's why when I step out to give words of knowledge, you might think, well, I don't want to step out because what if I miss it? Are you trusting him? If you put your eggs in that basket, then trust that when you get up and what comes out of your mouth is him. Don't stumble over him. He's like going, that was me. Don't stumble over me. That was me. Don't stumble over me. Let me be me. And trust it. Hello? So I think one of the things in Lent we need to learn is to keep from stumbling over him. We need to repent of stumbling over him. Because again, what can happen We have some guests come in, and they minister, and they speak, and they have this great anointing, all this cool stuff. Guess what? You have the same thing in you. And trust that as you go out in faith and be you, it's Him. Don't stumble over Him. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.